The headlines, reports from Yemen say regime forces have killed 70 people in tires. In Bahrain, women doctors released from jail say they've been tortured. Spanish protesters remain on the streets calling for a new democracy. Six more US-led troops die as NATO says it will stay in Afghanistan. And a new international flotilla is set to challenge Israel's siege of Gaza. Hello, it's 8:30 p.m. here in Tehran. You're with Press TV's World News. Reports say nearly 70 Yemeni anti-regime protesters have been killed in overnight clashes with security forces in the southern province of Taiz. Medics say up to 600 protesters were also wounded in the violence. They say the death toll is expected to rise, as many of the injured are in critical condition. On Sunday night, security forces and armed government thugs stormed a major opposition sit-in. They then set ablaze the tents of the protesters. Rights activists say dozens of the protesters were arrested during the raid. Since February, Yemen's major cities have faced almost daily anti-government rallies. The protesters have been demanding an end to the 33-year rule of President Ali Abdullah Saleh. A number of Bahraini female doctors have accused the regime forces of torturing and verbally abusing them while they were in custody. Although medics usually enjoy protection during conflicts, Saudi-backed Bahraini forces have rounded up many doctors and nurses during a crackdown on anti-regime demonstrations. Authorities accused them of abusing their jobs and siding with the protesters. The doctors say they were repeatedly beaten up, subjected to electric shocks and threatened with rape. They say the abusive treatment forced some of them into making false confessions. The Manama regime forces have killed dozens of people with the help of Saudi troops since anti-regime demonstrations began in mid-February. International rights groups have strongly criticized Bahrain over its heavy-handed crackdown on the protests. At least 11 civilians have been killed in a NATO airstrike in Libya. Libya state television said the air attack hit Zintan, west of the city of Misrata. NATO has been mandated by the UN Security Council with a mission to protect civilians in Libya against forces loyal to the country's ruler Muammar Gaddafi. However, the air attacks by the military alliance have killed dozens of civilians as well as revolutionary fighters. Meanwhile, South African President Jacob Zuma has reportedly met with embattled ruler Muammar Gaddafi in the Libyan capital, Tripoli. Zuma arrived in Libya earlier today in an effort to find a peaceful solution to the conflict in the country. This is Zuma's second visit to Libya since the war began. A spokesman for Zuma has denied the South African president would discuss exit strategies with Gaddafi. He said his main objective is to secure a ceasefire between the warring parties. Revolutionary fighters in Libya have so far refused to negotiate with the Libyan regime. They want Gaddafi's resignation as a precondition for any talks. Meanwhile, the National Transitional Council says 8 senior officers of Gaddafi's military, including 4 generals, have defected and have joined the revolutionary forces. On to Egypt now, where authorities are questioning the sons of ousted Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. Gamal and Allah face charges of profiteering, abuse of power and illicit accumulation of wealth. The men are being held in Cairo's Chora prison. On Saturday, an Egyptian court fined the ex-president and 2 former officials over $90 million for cutting mobile and internet services during January's demonstrations. Mubarak faces more serious charges, including ordering the killing of protesters, a charge which could carry the death penalty. At least 800 people were killed during 18 days of rallies that toppled Mubarak's regime. Meanwhile, a journalist and a TV presenter have been summoned by military prosecutors over criticizing Egypt's Supreme Council of the Armed Forces. Anti-government protesters have promised to continue their sit-in against the political establishment in Madrid's Puerto del Sol square. The demonstrators are angry at Spain's economic problems and what they call rampant corruption in their country. Spain's protests began on May 15th and spread to city squares across the country quite quickly. A spokesman for the protesters has said they want, quote, real democracy. Police have on some occasions engaged in violent clashes with the demonstrators in a number of cities, including Barcelona. And now, NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen says the alliance must stay in Afghanistan to finish the job. Rasmussen has called on NATO member states to increase military budgets and keep up their contributions to NATO's mission in Afghanistan. He also warned that a rapid exit from Afghanistan is still premature. Rasmussen was addressing a session of NATO's Parliamentary Assembly in Bulgaria. His comments come despite rising calls for a faster drawdown by critics of the U.S. war strategy. Foreign troops are preparing to begin handing over security to Afghan forces by the end of 2014. Meanwhile, at least six U.S.-led soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan, marking Monday as another bloody day for the foreign troops serving in the war-torn country. NATO says an Afghan man wearing an army uniform has shot and killed a foreign soldier in the south. It's not immediately clear if the shooter was an Afghan soldier or a militant in disguise. NATO has not disclosed the nationality of the dead soldier. This as another foreign soldier has died in a helicopter crash in the same region. Earlier on the day, four U.S.-led troops were killed by a roadside bomb attack in the western Vardak province. The Taliban have claimed responsibility for that attack. Violence in Afghanistan is on the rise as militants ramp up their long-expected spring offensive. Pro-Palestinian activists have warned Israel not to interfere with a planned aid flotilla en route to Gaza in late June.
We don't believe that they will repeat the same big mistake against humanity. It is the Mavi Marmara and it is a peace boat. We don't believe they will attack the boat again.
The planned date comes over a year after Israeli commandos stormed a Turkish humanitarian aid vessel while sailing to Gaza. The ship carrying much-needed humanitarian supplies for the people of Gaza was trying to run Israel's naval blockade on the enclave. Nine Turkish nationals were killed in the Israeli raid. The new flotilla, comprising 15 aid ships, will be carrying 1,500 people from around 100 countries. The activists also called on Tel Aviv to lift its illegal siege of 1.5 million Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip. Earlier, Turkish Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoglu warned Israel against repeating last year's mistake.
Pro-Palestine peace activists have gathered at Gaza seaport to mark the first anniversary of the Israeli naval attack on the Mavi Marmara, the Turkish aid ship, that resulted in the killing of nine activists. They also showed support for the Freedom Flotilla II, that will set sail next month. Boarding tens of fishing boats, they sailed west and threw flowers in memory of those who lost their lives.
The Israelis constantly use violence. This really shouldn't surprise anybody, and it shouldn't stop you from coming. The threat of violence cannot end the struggle. We have to persevere in spite of it.
We're here today to stand in solidarity with the people of Palestine against the siege of Gaza and Zionist military aggression. Our message to the Palestinians is that the people of the world are with them, as can be seen in the number of countries represented in the flotilla and its passengers.
As hundreds of pro-Palestine activists prepare to set sail from different European and Mediterranean ports to break Israel's naval blockade, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon on Friday sent a letter to all countries bordering the Mediterranean Sea. He asked them to discourage the transit of any ships attempting to reach Gaza.
We expect from Ban Ki-moon to stand beside the victims of Gaza, children, women, those who are in need of medication, not to politicize the international humanitarian law.
According to the organizers, the ultimate mission of the flotilla is not only to provide humanitarian aid, but to draw the attention of the international community to the miseries of Gazans that had been cut off from the outside world following years of Israeli siege. Last week, Egypt permanently opened its border crossing with the Gaza Strip, allowing people to cross freely for the first time in 4 years, following the ouster of ex-President Hosni Mubarak.
The Freedom Flotilla doesn't do nothing illegal in the sea. They are trying to break an illegal siege. They are trying to make the law respected. And this is the reason for which we ask to all the government in the West to support the Freedom Flotilla.
Nine flotillas have attempted to break Israel's illegal stranglehold since August 2008. Only five of those flotillas were successful in entering Gaza. However, they were violently intercepted on the past four voyages, including last year's, that was organized by the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. Organizers of the International Edo Flotilla say that their move is an act of nonviolent civil disobedience to persuade the international community to fulfill its obligations towards the Palestinian people and to put pressure on Israel to end its prolonged siege. Yusuf Al-Hilo, Press TV, Gaza.
You're watching Press TV's World News, and these are the headlines. Reports from Yemen say regime forces have killed 70 people in tires. In Bahrain, women doctors released from jail say they've been tortured. Spanish protesters remain on the streets calling for a new democracy. Six more US-led troops die as NATO says it will stay in Afghanistan. And a new international flotilla is set to challenge Israel's siege of Gaza.